So thank you very much to everyone. Thank you to Felipe. Again, congratulations for your doctorate, Felipe. Thank you to Sabina, Alejandra, and all of you who are here online. On this side of the line in Mexico City, I'm with Ricardo Aparicio, who's the director of Poverty Analysis, and Paloma Villagomez, who's an expert on these issues and has been helping us with these processes. So, and of course, this is a very important opportunity for all of us at the MPPN, because at the end of the day, MPPN is all about this. How can we share experiences? And the strength of this network for all of us is to listen, to share, to learn, and we keep learning all the time from all of you, from our experiences. And all of us at the network, we have so many things to say in various departments, and even in this occasion, in terms of child poverty. So thank you very much for the opportunity. Let me start in the next one, Felipe, by saying that we all agree here that child poverty is so important because a child in poverty has really chances of becoming permanent and with irreversible effects. So the reason why children are so important is because at the end of the day, if we can solve somehow their poverty, their problems, we are investing somehow in the future. So for this reason, let me just share with you what we have been doing in Mexico in three elements, in three dimensions. The technical part, the institutional part, which means the political part, and how we've been sharing with others this experience in Mexico, how we've been having partnerships with other institutions. So I should start by saying that a very important partnership with us has been UNICEF. Because at the end of the day, what we need in our countries to convince policymakers to use our evidence, to use our indicators, to use our MPI, is to have many voices convincing our policymakers. So in the case of Mexico, in the case of Coneval, a very important partnership has been with UNICEF from the very beginning. And so I really believe that having partnerships with others in our countries is very important. In the next slide, what we can see is that in the case of Mexico, the idea of the MPI is started by Congress. It was not about Coneval, it was started by Congress. And it means that Congress decided to have a national MPI, a national emerging poverty indicator, which means that in the Mexican case, we didn't develop specifically a child poverty measurement. What we are doing, and this is very important because it differs from other countries, is that we are benefiting from the national indicator, from the national methodology, and we are profiting because the indicator is, we can decompose it by population. We are using that element to help. So it's very important to remind ourselves that this process has been a long process where Congress decided to have the indicator, and then we produce it with the help of many people, including Sabina, including James Foster, including others. Because at the end of the day, a very important element in the Mexican case is the agreement on having that indicator. Without this agreement, it'll be difficult to have this indicator in Mexico. So, in the year 2009, we have a national one. And if you recall, if we go to the next one, Felipe, we do have a multidimensional indicator with various dimensions. In the Mexican case, income is included in the indicator, as well as educational gap, access to health services, access to social security, quality and spaces of the dwelling, access to basic services in the dwelling, and access to food. Those are the elements, basic elements, that have been there from the very beginning. And what we do technically is that we use the Income and Expenditure National Household Survey, which is done by the National Institute for Statistics. So in the Mexican case, we are sharing the responsibility of measuring poverty both between the statistical office. Those are the ones who produce the Income and Expenditure National Household Survey, and Coneval, who's the one who actually computes the indicators. So this is the way the institutional element is in Mexico. And as you can see in this chart, we do have the national indicator, and we produce poverty indicators for the households, and then using the decomposability of the indicator, then we were able to measure poverty for children and for adolescents. So unlike other countries, we didn't produce a specific indicator for children. We used the national one, and then we disaggregated by children. This has been very important because we thought at one time of producing, besides the main indicator from the national indicator, to produce specific ones for different groups. But then we believe that if it was difficult and it was a challenge to convince policymakers to use this national one, that what was a big challenge that happened, fortunately, then it would have been more difficult to convince, again, and to have agreement of other indicators by subgroup. So we are using this aggregation of the indicator for children. As you will see, we have specific elements for children in education, in health services, but for other dimensions, we are using what a family is deprived of. In the next one, we go to the next one, please. And now we have the figures there. The figures 2016 will be new. We have the new indicators in 2018 very soon. And as you will see, we have this our MPI model in the case of Mexico, where we have the dimensions and also income at the same time. So we do have poverty of children of 51%, which means 20 million around. And we have, for extreme poverty, 9% of poverty and 3.6 million of children and adolescents in poverty in 2016. As you will see, we not only have poverty, we have other dimensions as well, which is very helpful for the government to keep track of what we're doing in various dimensions. If we go to the next one, you can see that we are able to have this picture of poverty, and we can divide it by age. So we have by dimension, what is happening to 1 year old between 2 and 5, 6 and 11, 12 to 17, and we can see the differences in ages, and therefore it is more it is very important, this disaggregation, because it's easier for policymakers to have different actions for different people. As you know, it's very different having the importance of early education, early health, which is different from what is happening to adolescents. And in the next one, what you can see is that we can also, we are able to disaggregate by other groups, even between children and adolescents. So we have big differences in groups such as indigenous and non-indigenous population. And in fact, this possibility of indicator has been very useful, because at this very moment, where the new president, the new government in Mexico, are so engaged with the indigenous population, then this type of indicators has been very important for them. I mean, it hasn't been that easy for us to actually convince fully the new government about evidence, I have to tell you. But in terms of these type of indicators, they are very interested. They are very interested on understanding the difference between indigenous and non-indigenous men, women, people with disabilities, and unfortunately, we are able to produce this type of indicators for the new government. And therefore, with that, we do have a window of opportunity of engaging with the new government. The next one, please. And then we can see differences, as perhaps it happens in other countries. We can see here that the degree of poverty for people under 18 years old is greater than for other people, and therefore the differences are important, even for extreme poverty. Poverty, as you see, the blue one, hasn't changed that much. That's been a challenge because income here is very important for this indicator, and income in Mexico has been having a difficult evolution over the previous 15 years. Although extreme poverty, the evolution is a bit better, because at the end of the day, public policy, it's easier to get grasp in extreme poverty. So it's easier to reduce poverty with our to reduce extreme poverty with our indicator than to reduce the bigger shape of poverty. And the next one, Felipe. A very interesting dialogue here is, shall we go and produce a specific child poverty indicator, or shall we stick to our national indicator and then disaggregate by population? So far, our conclusion so far is to keep with our national indicator and then disaggregate it by population, including children and adolescents, and use the fact that that indicator, the national indicator, has been well received over the past 10 years. People understand this indicator, and people have been working on that to reduce poverty, to have public policy actions for children, for adolescents, for elder people, and for the whole nation with this indicator. So far we are sticking with that, although there's a possibility, late, perhaps in the future, to have a specific one for children, and a specific one for elderly people, and a specific one for disabled people. That will be, the challenge is as follows. Those indicators will be even better for those groups. But then we have to have a national agreement for policymakers to use those elements. So far, because we've been able to convince policymakers about the big one, we are using that one. And finally, Felipe, the last one is, of course, the challenges that we all have in our countries. That at the end of the day, we need to break the intergenerational reproduction of poverty. We have to strengthen access and quality of basic services for children, because otherwise, if we don't target on children, we will be missing important opportunities. And all these elements, let me just finish by saying, with these efforts, we've been sharing with UNICEF this challenge, because without UNICEF, without partners in countries, then our message it gets more difficult. So this is what we have to say, and we're happy to have questions and answers and everything you want. Thank you.